Good evening. Let's look together at Psalm 31 through 36. And, well, let's just pray. Father, as we seek to know you in your word, specifically in the book of Psalms, we pray that you would enlighten our understanding, Lord, that we would know you better, that we would serve you better, Lord. In Jesus' name. Psalm 31. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. This, I look at Psalm 31, it's about trusting in the Lord. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Jesus said that. We all know from the cross, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Many saints of God being executed since have said that, have prayed that prayer as well. One can think of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Setting his feet in a large room means, you know, giving me space, you know, to maneuver, you know, not being hemmed in is the idea. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eyes consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances, that they did see me without. I'm not reading very good tonight, I'm sorry. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. It almost sounds like he's got paranoia. I heard slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. One can think of Absalom. Was that the time when this was happening? We don't know because it's not said. A lot of these you can just, if you know David and you know about his life, you can say, well, it might have been at this time, it might have been at this time. But every time we do things like that, it's only a guess, right? And verse 14 is the reversal, the central verse of this whole psalm. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. All of our times are in his hand. Would to God that we remembered that and we knew that in times of trouble. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. And of course, you know, having God's face shine on us, that reminds us of the Aaronic blessing, of course, as it's given to us in the book of Numbers. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secret in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. That keeping them secretly in a pavilion, hiding them in the secret of thy presence, always to me has an eschatological implication. But that's just a guess. It could be as simple like hiding them away, preserving, keeping. But that pavilion talk and hiding them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man, is that man the Antichrist? Well, if you ask me, but that's just the way I read it. It doesn't necessarily have to be that, okay? And I'm to be honest with you. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. And he always does, and he always will. But when we're in between a rock and a hard place, it's awful hard to remember that. O, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Okay, Psalm 32 is, it says the blessedness of forgiveness, and it's called a penitential psalm. It's a psalm of David. A mass skill. It starts out with a blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Starts out with a little beatitude. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And then he talks about the time when he wasn't penitential, when he wasn't coming to the Lord with his, one easily thinks of 1 John 1:9, called the Christian's bar of soap by some. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why wouldn't we? Why don't we? Well, sometimes pride, or because we choose sin over God, we don't confess. And he's talking about the time when he didn't confess in verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. And then we have that word Selah again. Hey, stop and think about this. I was blessed when I confessed. When I didn't, things were very heavy. They were dry. It was like a drought. My bones waxed old. And of course, not confessing your sins will age you. I mean, age will age you. But I mean, you can't live life against God successfully forever. It catches up with you. I think we all know that. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Stop and think of that. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Stop and think about that. So instead of keeping and holding it all in, he acknowledges sin, he confesses it, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Again, 1 John 1, 9 says that's going to happen every time. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So, hey, don't be like a horse. Don't be like a donkey. You know, a donkey is cantankerous and contrary and stubborn as a mule. That's you know, legendarily so. Me and Sue's last night, we were reading... Dickens, the old curiosity shop. We were introduced to a horse that just had his own way. Whether he had bit or bridle, he's pulling a carriage, he'd pull it just the way he wanted to pull it, and he'd go here and check this out and stuff. And he was kind of funny to you have to have a bridle, a bit in a horse's mouth to get them to do what you want them to do. And even then, right? Many sorrows shall, and don't be like that, is what verse 9 is saying. Verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now this is, you know, a psalm that we can pray often. It talks about just forgiveness and how, you know, when we're not perfect. We're not bound to be perfect. We've put the Lord before us. We want to follow the Lord. We want to do as he instructs us. And then we mess up. So what do you do? Confess. Turn your life to God in that situation, and everything will come right. After he gives the law, the next thing at Sinai, he goes about giving the... a set of blueprints, as it were, to Moses for how to build this place called the Tabernacle. I've given you law, and you're not going to get it right. So you're going to need to know about this Tabernacle, this place of worship where you come when you mess up to offer sacrifices and to get it right and to go on your way. Well, that's just how it is. So, by the way, verses 1 and 2 are quoted by Saul in Romans. And you have this transgression, and you have sin, and you have iniquity. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whom spirit there is no guile. Whose sin is covered, at the end of verse 31. So you get transgression, you get sin, and you get iniquity. These are slightly different. Transgression means to step across a line. Sin means to miss the mark. Iniquity is mean to be out of harmony with God and his character or his will. All these also, again, listed in verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid, and I said, I will confess my transgressions. Verse 3 and 4, of course, again, reflect what happens when we do not confess. It reminds me of, because I'm a fan of in Crime and Punishment, Raskolnikov is the character. Dostoevsky. I'm a fan of Dostoevsky. Me and Suze have read several of his, well, listened to on LibriVox, and I think that's the best way to, so you can get it in your coming and going, if you know, you can listen to it in your vehicle. This Raskolnikov, he commits a murder, and then the rest of the, early on in the beginning chapters, the rest of the book is him wrestling with the guilt, and we hear his conscience just wrestling him, and he, so he commits this, but he never has any pleasure in stealing because he kills this lady and takes her stuff. But he never goes back and gets the stuff. It's just him wrestling and wrestling and wrestling. Kind of a Telltale Heart kind of thing. We all know that Edgar Allan Poe's story, Telltale Heart. Guilt will kill you to death. It is just, you cannot live with guilt. And this is the story of the blessedness, Psalm, I should say, of the blessedness of when you turn to the Lord for forgiveness and he forgives us. Okay, Psalm 33, orphan psalm, we don't know who wrote it. In the first book of Psalms, which is Psalm 1 through Psalm 41, there's only four psalms that we don't know, and two of them that aren't listed as, but one of them, like Psalm 2, is ascribed to David, and I can't remember the other one that's also ascribed to David. So there's only two in the, and this is one of them that we, in the first book of Psalms, that we really don't know who wrote it. It doesn't bother me, by the way. You know, the Holy Spirit wrote it. I know that, okay? And he wanted us to have it. If you give this title, this, you could call it Heart. It's my Bible says it's a psalm of joy. It's, some have called it the Alleluia chorus of the Old Testament. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Small point, but anytime it mentions string, it mentions 10 strings. I was listening to one guy on this, and he said, it's like playing all the black keys of piano. There's no minor chords. It's all in majors. And he had a word for it, that a musical term, but I'm not that musical, so I don't know what it was. But it's interesting, 10 strings. So when we play a regular guitar, it seems like we're missing a few strings. I don't know. Verse 3, sing unto the Lord a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Okay, sing unto the Lord a new song. New songs are several times throughout scriptures. Play skillfully, so that practice has to be involved. We just pick up an instrument and play it badly. God's not prefer bad. You say, well, I don't play an instrument. Well, you got a loud noise. You got that, don't you? Loud is often in Scripture raucous, loud. I wouldn't say cacophonous. I'd say boisterous. So how about that? And it's a commandment. Sing unto him a new song, not just a suggestion. Some people, well, I don't sing. I don't understand that, frankly. This book is about psalms. It's a book of songs. And maybe you don't sing. It's not a pretty thing. I have an idea to God. He made your voice, right? I have an idea. It's really a reflection of your heart, not of your vocal cords. Now it's mentioned the God of creation in verses 4 through 11. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of God. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the deep and the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people to none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of all his heart to all generations. Who made the earth? Looks like the Lord to me. Does people stress that over that all the time? And you know, Big Bang cosmology and all this stuff. It's right here. It's obvious. All you have to do is be able to read. And then, of course, you want to believe what you read. Verse 12 here is pivotal in my thinking. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Would to God this were true of America, that we're that blessed nation whose God is the Lord. Our president of yesteryear, President Obama, said this is no longer a Christian nation. He got a lot of flack for it, but we don't make it a Christian nation by saying, oh, this is a Christian nation, or by not saying it's a Christian nation, when the majority of many people in America follow God, it's a Christian nation. And when they do not, when they follow their own ways, and ways that are anti-God, well, that's what it is, isn't it? So, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Again, another beatitude. And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And we think that's how it does work. You know, we got the toughest army, and we got the best navy, and we got the most nukes, and they can do the most devastation. And God is telling us there is no king save by the multitude of a host. We went to war in Vietnam, and by all accounts, we came in second place. Participant trophy. When we turned against the Lord, and horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Rather, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Is that true of America? Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Does America fear him? You tell me. I don't see it. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Okay, Psalm 34, and I've been anxious to get here for a long time. This is my favorite psalm. I don't know what your favorite psalm is. You can go ahead and Facebook that into the church and maybe quote verses from it that are your favorite verses of the whole thing in its entirety. I don't know if you can put things on a page or not, or you can just send them directly to me, or I can give out my email address. It's AdamKaz, AdamKaz4990@gmail.com. You can send me your favorite psalm. This is my favorite psalm. And it's written by David. And it's the occasion when, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. So David is running away from Saul, so much so that he goes over to the enemy, goes over to the Philistines. Abimelech, also called Achish, Abimelech is a title, Achish is his name. He drove him away. So he went over and he acted like he was crazy, if you remember. And he, you know, let his drool down onto his beard, and he was, writing on the wall, scribbling, and acting like a crazy man. Akish says, what do I got a shortage of crazy men that you bring this guy to me? And so he let him go, and so David escaped. It is an acrostic. Again, the author is David. Let's just jump in. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivereth them. It reminds us when Elisha and his servant are at, I think, Dothan, I don't remember, and the Syrian army is all around the city, and Elisha's servant is freaking out, oh no, and he's just losing his mind, and Elisha says, and by the way, at this time Elisha's eyes are dim, he can't see, he doesn't need any sight because he has insight, and he says to the Lord, he says, Lord, this guy here, he's losing it. Open his eyes, and then there was the hills were the fiery chariots and the horses and because Elisha had said, there's more for us than for them. And he opened his eyes, and David sees that somewhat. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. That just makes my heart glad. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not theoretical. It's a taste thing. It's like, we say that the proof of the pudding is in the eating thereof. We can talk about it till we can talk about the Lord till we're blue in the face. And invite people, taste, try for yourself, see that the Lord is who he says he is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him, another beatitude. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Remember, I was saying in last time, America's problems is because we don't fear the Lord. And here he invites us to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. In other words, he'll bless you with all the stuff you're going to need, right? The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This, I think, is what the fear of the Lord actually means. He's saying, hey, I'll teach you what fear of the Lord means. You like life, you want to live many days, you want to see good stuff, keep thy tongue from evil. Why would you do that? Because you fear the Lord. So the Lord is truth, we would speak truth. Keep thy lips from speaking guile. God is not full of guile. Do not be full of guile. Do not speak guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This is what it means to fear the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That reminds us of the first beatitude as given to us in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It says here, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So that blessed are the poor in spirit, there's a contrite brokenness, the spiritual poverty, these are the blessed ones. Because why? For theirs is the kingdom of God. Here it's put in the terminology, and saveth such. Or in other words, theirs is the kingdom of God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Are you surprised to see that verse here? Quoted in it's chronicled by John in John chapter 19 that not one of his bones is to be broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. A lot of people hate us because we're righteous, because we love God, because we serve God. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Enough said, Fred. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So you hate the righteous, you're desolate. You trust in the Lord, you shall not be desolate. Okay, Psalm 35. We're making good time here. We're doing good. This is a Psalm of David. I don't know what all that says. I have notes here that... Anyway, okay, it's the Psalm of David. Verse 1, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. There are three movements, I should say, in this psalm. And the first starts in verse 1. And then it switches here in verse 4 to an imprecatory psalm. We've talked about this in the past, but it's when you call down curses on your enemies. But you've got to remember here, the enemies are the enemies of God. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. And by the way, rather than say it to your enemy, say it to God. I don't think there's sin there. To shout at somebody and all these type of things that you should only be saying to God, I think saying it to God stops us from saying it to our enemy. And when we think about our enemies, don't think about flesh and blood. Remember that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual enemies, we're told in the book of Ephesians. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into the very destruction let him fall. We see that all through Scripture. Naaman's hung on his own gallows. For my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. So it ends in verses, the first movement ends in verses 9 and 10 with praise to God. The second movement begins in verse 11. And it begins with a complaint. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. That's, I think, one of the keys to this whole passage, to this whole psalm. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto mine own bosom. I behaved as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. So he's saying, you know, when it was their turn, I was really praying. I was really in extremis. But when it was my thing that was going sideways, they false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things I knew. I didn't do these things. And they're saying, always remember that too. Give the people of God the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because people lie. Here, it's right here in Scripture. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. And of course, we can see here the trials of Jesus. When they said all these things that they weren't true. It's betrayal is what's being talked about here. And gossip, maybe one of the most hurtful, saddest things. And when Christians are involved in it, it's just, let's keep moving. But in mine verse 15, but in mine adversity they rejoice and gather themselves together. Yea, the abjects gather themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. And the prayer, verse 17, Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. That kind of reminds us of Psalm 22, does it not? And very often, the lions are the adversaries. Why? Because the lions, we have an adversary who's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So when we talk about this, we're talking adversarial and demonic. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Again, that's like Psalm 22. It gets to the worst, and then there's a great reversal. I think the resurrection is hinted at in Psalm 22. And here the second movement again ends with praise in verse 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among many people. The third movement starts in verse 19. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with their eye that hate me without a cause. That's true with Jesus. He quotes this psalm here. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye has seen it. This is probably referring to, hey, I saw him do it, but it's a lie. It's, again, like Beck, verse 11, talks and calls them false witnesses. Here he says, aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. But that's not the way it went down. This thou hast seen, O Lord. They said they saw it, but this is what you saw, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad and favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And this movement, like the two movements before it, end with praise, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Okay, let's get Psalm 36. Let's sneak that in here too. I believe we can. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. So here he's not just David anymore. Now here he's a servant of the Lord. But of course he always is, whether it says that or not. You'll recognize some verses here. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. In Romans, chapter 1, it ends with those who inventor of evil things. This kind of reminds me of that. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. The shadow of thy wings is a metaphor for protection, of course. Jesus says over Jerusalem, how I would gather you like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. And we see the wings of the Lord is a metaphor very many times. Also, remember the cherubs on the ark, on the mercy seat, really do have wings. Is there an allusion to that? Perhaps. Perhaps there's more than one meaning here. Because the cherub are symbolic of the presence of God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. And by the way, I think there is an allusion there to the cherubs, and the reason I think so is because the next verse talks about they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Because the temple of the Lord was called the house of God, and before it so was the tabernacle. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. That kind of reminds me, you know, does anyone thirst, Jesus says. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Again, that harks to Jesus saying, if anyone thirsts, for in thee is the fountain of life. And in thy light shall we see light. Jesus, of course, is the light of the world. You don't have to stretch your imagination far to see Jesus in the Psalms. He's all over the place. And, of course, I think that's one of the big blessings in reading and studying the Psalms. Continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen, they are cast down, and shall not be able to rise. It ends on a sad note there to those who are opposed to God. one thing I will say, and I meant to say it, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before him. That's quoted by Paul in Romans chapter 3. Much of the Psalms are quoted many places all throughout the New Testament. We haven't got to that yet in our study in Romans. We start Romans chapter 2 this week. So anyway, that's it. Let's wrap it up there. Let's pray and be done. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the source of encouragement and wisdom and, Lord, hope and just basic instruction, Lord. You know, we've talked about when we're sinning, confess. You know, when we're in a tight place, trust in God. Basic things that we need, Lord. And we would sing unto you a new song with loud praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace.